Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Justice, and may it please the court. The Citizenship Clause was adopted just after the Civil War to grant citizenship to the newly freed slaves and their children, whose allegiance to the United States had been established by generations of domicile here. It did not grant citizenship to the children of temporary visitors or illegal aliens who have no such allegiance.
So the citizenship question at the Supreme Court, very, very interesting discussion. And in some ways, not as interesting as I thought. Like, you know, I'm a nerd, okay? I love listening to these things. I find them fascinating. The questions are important. I was really hoping to be totally captivated by the intricacies of this argument. And I wound up thinking, it's not as interesting as I thought. In fact, I think it was pretty cut and dry. And if you ask me my prediction, I think Trump is going to lose this case, and he's going to lose it 9-0. I think that when the Supreme Court rules on this, the birthright citizenship question, they're basically going to say, bro, why'd you even bother us with this? This is John Sauer. He's the Solicitor General for the United States.
Congress used the term not subject to any foreign power in the Civil Rights Act of 1866. It rejected the British conception of allegiance. Senator Trumbull explained that subject to the jurisdiction thereof in the clause means not owing allegiance to anybody else. And in 1884, this court recognized that subject to the jurisdiction means owing direct and immediate allegiance.
Okay, so this is going to be one of the key questions that they're going to talk about, is that phrase in the 14th Amendment, born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. What exactly does subject to the jurisdiction thereof mean? If it means, you know, fully in the United States, intending to live here and not here illegally and not here temporarily, then Trump is going to win. If it means something much less than that, if it's almost a formality, or if it's merely meant to clarify against being, for example, a foreign diplomat, well, then Trump is going to lose. So that's the question. And when you look at that particular phraseology, it looks a lot more like what the tradition has been, which is that the people who are excluded from this are people like children born to foreign diplomats. You know, if the Chinese ambassador is here in, say, Washington, D.C., and they have a child, that child is not a United States citizen. Why? Because foreign diplomats were never thought to have been the sort of people that when they are here in the United States, their children would become citizens. That's a clear exception. Members of hostile invading armies, right? If the Japanese during World War II had managed to make a beachhead at L.A. or something, or at Pearl, okay, and then they had been stationed there by their government and had children, those children would not have been considered citizens because they are the children of hostile armies. Foreign public vessels, you know, you're here on shore from a foreign navy or something like that. It's just none of, you know, like a cruise ship, let's say. Those people are not considered to be U.S. citizens. But those are all the exceptions. And then you had the Dred Scott case. And the Dred Scott case is this horrible decision by the Supreme Court, 1857, that said that black people are not citizens, and therefore you can, you know, return them to their owners. Which, of course, was a key part of the buildup to the Civil War. And after the Civil War, you had the Civil Rights Act. And in the Civil Rights Act, the phraseology was not subject to any foreign power. So somebody who was born here and not subject to any foreign power became a United States citizen. Then the 14th Amendment, black people are citizens, and it was focused on black people, but it was all, you know, are citizens by birth and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That was the phraseology that they used, which was implementing language related, similar, not identical to the Civil Rights Act. But it was primarily designed to make sure that everybody knew that former slaves and their children were citizens, people, full-blown, with all the rights and privileges of United States citizens. It was never really intended, and this is the argument that John Sauer is going to make and does make, it was never really intended to deal with a problem that did not exist at the time, illegal immigration. That problem is new. I mean, not new like this year, but, you know, new like since 150 years, it's new. It wasn't around when they made this particular amendment. So they weren't trying to solve this problem. And they weren't trying to solve, you know, the issue of temporary visitors, that them coming here and having children, that wasn't really an issue here. But primarily, the issue of being here illegally was not an issue. And so you have this quandary with a law or an amendment that was not written with our current problem in mind, but it did seem to create a category, which is if you were born here and not subject, right, to a foreign jurisdiction, therefore you'd be a citizen. And so even though it wasn't written with illegal immigrants in mind, it did seem to cover illegal immigrants, but that's what the Trump administration is arguing. And there's a case in 1898. This is the only case that's really the most relevant precedent in all this. It's the Wong Kim Ark case. And you basically had the child of foreign citizens who were Chinese. They were living here. He was born here. They left. They went back to China. He then subsequently comes back to the United States and was denied entry. You say, oh, simple. He's not a citizen. No, because the Wong Kim Ark case by the Supreme Court said, no, he is a citizen. And he was forced to be let in. The administration didn't want to let him in at the time. Then subsequently in 1952, you had the Immigration Nationality Act, which repeated the exact language of the 14th Amendment, okay, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, after the Wong Kim Ark case had been settled, which is a way of Congress affirming that the language of the 14th Amendment also included the prospect of people who were here as temporary visitors. Not people who are, did not, again, not exactly cover the question of illegal immigrants. So that's kind of where we are. And if you listen to the oral arguments, John Sauer, he's explaining his side. But most of the time spent in oral argument to the Supreme Court was the court, almost all of them, grilling him and disagreeing with him.
The clause thus does not extend citizenship to the children of temporary visa holders or illegal aliens. Unlike the newly freed slaves, those visitors lack direct and immediate allegiance to the United States. For aliens, lawful domicile is the status that creates the requisite allegiance, and the text of the clause presupposes domicile.
And this concept of lawful domicile, the idea that you're here within the law intending to stay, America is your home and born here. Okay, as opposed to here illegally or here not intending to stay, the case of illegal immigrants or temporary visa holders, temporary people who are here visiting, vacationing, whatever you want to call it.
For decades following the clause's adoption, commentators recognize that the children of temporary visitors are not citizens, and illegal aliens lack the legal capacity to establish domicile here.
So that's going to be the Trump argument. This is, again, John Sauer, Solicitor General.
Unrestricted birthright citizenship contradicts the practice of the overwhelming majority of modern nations. It demeans the priceless and profound gift of American citizenship.
This, to me, was a really weird move. They talked about foreign law and foreign practice, and that's completely irrelevant. Also, conservatives, and I'm pretty sure Trump, have historically taken the position that we don't decide what our law means by looking to foreign laws. So it's a weird move.
It operates as a powerful pull factor for illegal immigration and rewards illegal aliens who not only violate the immigration laws, but also jump in front of those who follow the rules. It has spawned a sprawling industry of birth tourism as uncounted thousands of foreigners from potentially hostile nations have flocked to give birth in the United States in recent decades, creating a whole generation of American citizens abroad with no meaningful ties to the United States.
But those are all policy questions. Those are all questions of whether the law is smart or not. Those are not questions about whether the law is, well, the law as written. And that's never the issue in these kinds of cases. It's not whether it's a smart law, it's whether it is the law or not. John Roberts?
You obviously put a lot of weight on subject to the jurisdiction thereof. But the examples you give to support that strike me as very quirky. You know, children of ambassadors, children of enemies during a hostile invasion, children on warships. And then you expand it to a whole class of illegal aliens are here in the country. I'm not quite sure how you can get to that big group from such tiny and sort of idiosyncratic examples.
What John Roberts is saying is you don't start from the exceptions and build to a rule that affects millions of people. You know, you can't take the cases of 15 or 20 people. And, I mean, it's a very small number of people that the exceptions apply to. And then assume that that same pattern applies to everybody in a massive category involving hundreds of thousands, at least, of people, you know, children born of illegal immigrants and temporary visitors. He says that that logic doesn't make sense.
What I do is I invite the court to look at the intervening step, which is the enactment of the Civil Rights Act of 1866. And there they didn't say subject to the jurisdiction thereof. There it says not subject to any foreign power. Now, if you go back to Blackstone and Calvin's case, they say it does not matter if you are subject to any foreign power. If you are born in the king's domains, you have this indefeasible duty of allegiance to the king at any time. So there's a clear repudiation in the Civil Rights Act. The Civil Rights Act is this breakwater, which makes it very, very clear that they are not thinking about allegiance in the terms of, like, the British common law. They've adopted the Republican conception of allegiance.
And again, that's what I was telling you before, that the Civil Rights Act of 1866 didn't use the same phraseology as the 14th Amendment did. And the argument over what that very subtle shift in phraseology means, if anything, is likely to be the essence of this case.
It brings up an important principle about how we interpret the law.
John Alito.
When particular problems pop up, lawmakers may enact a general rule. When they do that, is the application of that general rule limited only to the situations that they had in mind when they adopted the general rule, or do we say they adopted a general rule, they meant for that to apply to later applications that might come up? Justice Scalia had an example that dealt with this situation. He imagined an old theft statute that was enacted well before anybody conceived of a microwave oven, and then afterwards someone is charged with the crime of stealing a microwave oven, and this fellow says, well, I can't be convicted under this because the microwave oven didn't exist at that time. And he dismissed that. There's a general rule there, and you apply it to future applications. And what we're dealing with here is something that was basically unknown at the time when the 14th Amendment was adopted, which is illegal immigration.
Think Second Amendment here. The Second Amendment says, right, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Does it apply to modern weapons? It does, even though they did not have those weapons in mind when they made it. Similarly, the case of who gets citizenship, the rule is if you're born here and you're not subject to the jurisdiction and you're subject to the jurisdiction thereof, then you're a citizen. You're a citizen. Even if that wasn't intended to cover illegal immigration, even if that wasn't intended to cover temporary visitors who come here on a vacation in order to do birthright citizenship at some high-end facility in, you know, California, which happens all the time with Asians. They come here to give birth in order to have their kids have citizenship. Even though it wasn't meant to cover those, the rule does exist. The rule, as applied, as written, does cover those cases. And even if they did not have that in mind, it is still the law. So even Samuel Alito is saying this, and that's kind of my point. I think it's going to be 9-0. I think they're going to say citizenship is exactly what we have been doing ever since the reaffirmation of the language in Wong Kim Ark in the 1952 Immigration Nationality Act, what everybody has always believed about citizenship, which is if you come out of mama here, then you're one of ours, basically. And except for those very, very rare exceptions, and the exceptions have to be clarified. It's not the assumption that you're an exception unless proven otherwise. It's the assumption that you're a citizen unless clearly there is an exception to the contrary. But we'll see. You know, the Supreme Court can surprise you and you never know, but that would be my guess is that, and that was most of the analysis of the oral argument seemed to take that same view. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
All right, folks, as we approach Liberty Island, you'll see the iconic Statue of Liberty, standing tall at over 300 feet. The torch in her hand symbolizes a beacon of hope that's held up by her very wavy arm.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay, or Avacincaptad Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. It's proven to slow GA progression and could preserve your remaining vision for longer, so you can keep seeing the world around you. Don't take Izervay if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't wait for your vision changes to progress. Ask your retina specialist about Izervay today. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Barkley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
I want you to find this Nancy boy, Elliot Ness. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons with an update on an interaction one of our deputies had a few days ago with an individual standing on the side of the roadway videoing the area. One of our deputies had an interaction with this individual which led to a back and forth that did not reflect our core values of courtesy, integrity, and professionalism.
Now, in this video, Chip is not going to get into the particular details of what exactly he thinks she did that did not live up to those standards. But, of course, we talked about this quite a bit yesterday and with Mike Wood as well. You'll hear the replay of that interview tidied up, by the way, from yesterday because we had some phone issues. Obviously, we'll talk about this with Chip when he's in studio here on Tuesday. But here's what Chip said yesterday.
The Constitution allows for an individual to stand in a public place and also allows for someone to record or video what he or she could see or hear from this public vantage point. We train for this type of encounter, and our expectation is that our employees abide by our core values, regardless of the actions of others.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the blessing slash curse of the First Amendment, is that people will use those rights in ways that you don't enjoy. But that's the idea, is they're allowed to do that.
While we may or may not agree with every individual's motive, the protections guaranteed in the Constitution apply to everyone.
That's right, too. Even if the motives are nefarious, even if it's meant to be making money on TikTok or to deliberately offend people to provoke them to do something that's entertaining, stupid, or illegal, you know, unconstitutional, that's their goal. It doesn't matter if they're not doing anything that is not itself illegal or unconstitutional. They're allowed.
After an internal review of our deputy's actions, appropriate measures have been taken. And our deputy will be back to serve the citizens of Escambia County with courtesy, integrity, and professionalism.
And to me, that's the best part of this, is that whatever remediation or training or reminders that they did, or secret internal medal awarding ceremony for putting up with this jerk, probably not, she's going to be back on the job. And thank goodness, because definitely she should be back on the job. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are needing to have any kind of repairs done, and I know these things come up in you suddenly. I know most of you aren't sitting around with a three-month-old plumbing problem that you need fixed. But the reason we talk about Peden a lot is because when it happens, I want you to think of them. They're the place to go for your electrical, for your plumbing, for your heating, for your air conditioning needs. If you've got a generator issue, or, you know, if you want a generator, they'll take care of you all along the Gulf Coast since 1969. Tallahassee on the east side in the central, in the eastern time zone, all the way west to Alabama with Baldwin County and Mobile in the last couple of years. They have been providing outstanding professional service with good quality products and a 100% satisfaction guaranteed for a long time. And right now, in spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchased by Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off any repairs, all completely included. You can call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. Hey, tonight the Artemis II is going to come back and splash down near San Diego, and the ships are already out there in position waiting for it to happen. What is it, 25,000, 24,000 miles an hour, I think, when it first enters the Earth's atmosphere. It's going to pop up to 5,000 degrees, half the surface of the sun. Then it's going to bounce back out into space and come back in and eventually slow down to 20 miles an hour. So a lot of braking between then and now. There's a really interesting challenge because the Artemis 1 heat shield did not perform as expected. I'll tell you about kind of how that all happened a little bit later on in the show. And so we're really kind of fingers crossed, trusting and hoping that it does what it should do for the Artemis 2 mission.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. It's the eve of peace talks between the U.S. and Iran and Pakistan, the fragile ceasefire holding. Vice President J.D. Vance leads the U.S. delegation. Tehran maintains control of the Strait of Hormuz. Fewer oil tankers than expected sailing through it during the ceasefire timeline, angering President Trump, who posts Iran was doing a very poor job by not allowing the free flow of ships through the strait. Sheriff's deputy shot and killed during eviction on Thursday. This taking place about 2 hours north of Los Angeles. Tulare County Sheriff Mike Bujoe says 59-year-old David Morales opened fire with a high-powered rifle and tried to take off when...
We intentionally ran him over.
Adding...
You shoot at cops, we're going to run you over. He got run over. He got what he deserved.
The sheriff said cops used an armored vehicle, adding the deputy, Randy Holpert, had been with the department since 2020. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 60 degrees right now with clear skies this morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A Pensacola man found not guilty by reason of insanity in the 2014 stabbing death of a woman may be heading back to the Florida State Hospital. According to the PNJ, Matthew Warren was acquitted in the killing of 39-year-old Angela Cook, whose body was found stuffed in a recycling bin at his home. Warren had been living in Tallahassee on a conditional release plan, but was involuntarily committed April 1st under the Baker Act. An emergency hearing was held Thursday. A judge ordered a mental health evaluation to determine if Warren needs to be committed again. He remains in the custody of the Appalachie Center in the meantime. Two swimmers that were caught in a rip current at Perdido Key on Thursday were rescued by four fellow beachgoers before EMS could get there. Red flags were flying at the time. Lifeguards won't be returning to Perdido Key until the end of May. An Escambia sheriff's deputy disciplined for that 8-minute profanity-laced argument with a First Amendment auditor near the Islamic Center of Northwest Florida will be returning to duty. The sheriff's office says an internal review is now complete and appropriate measures have been taken. It wasn't specified exactly what those measures were. Sheriff Chip Simmons says the Constitution does protect individuals recording in public spaces. Deputies are expected to maintain professionalism. The citizen involved was not arrested. Santa Rosa Board of County Commissioners unanimously approved putting speed cameras in school zones yesterday. Well, and if you want to know why, just look at the numbers. Commissioners reviewed data showing top speeds recorded during active school zones that, a little bit hard to believe, including drivers going up to 71 miles per hour in a school zone with a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. Commissioner Bobby Burkett said once he saw the data, made up his mind.
I just want to say that for school zones, for the cameras, I'm in support of that. If it's going to save a child's life, I'm looking at some of the, because this was a 5-day supported, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just blown away at some of the speeds that people went through speed zones at. It's crazy. If this will save some child's lives, hey, if you're speeding, pay the fine. You know, don't call me and try to help out, because the answer is no on that.
The board voted unanimously to approve the framework for the speed camera plan on Thursday. The system will be supplied by a vendor at no cost to the county, and it would only activate when somebody's going at least 10 miles per hour over the posted school zone limit. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer's launched a new investigation into OpenAI and ChatGPT over alleged harms to children and he says a connection to the FSU mass shooting last year. Uthmeyer says subpoenas are forthcoming. OpenAI says it will cooperate with that investigation. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful sunny skies today. Temperatures warming up, getting around 78 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Saturday, nice sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Heading into Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 64. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 60 and clear skies this morning. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Eli Lilly's market share in India's weight loss drug market fell to 56% in March from 61% in February. Novo Nordisk's market share remains steady at 25%. Indian generic drug makers have launched 26 brands of semaglutide that directly compete with Novo Nordisk's Ozempic and Wegovy. The European Commission has issued more than $7 billion in fines to U.S. big tech companies over the past 2 years. Google, Apple, and Meta are contesting fines from the EU over violations of the bloc's antitrust and competition laws. Trump officials are increasingly clashing with the EU over fines and investigations of American tech companies. Oil prices remain slightly elevated as Iran's ceasefire fails to boost tanker traffic via the Strait of Hormuz. West Texas Intermediate currently hovering at roughly $99 per barrel, Brent at $96. Futures are slightly lower as traders monitor the fragile ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran and ahead of key inflation data later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, 539 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Friday. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk with Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. And I will tell you that one of the challenges we had yesterday was His phone dropped like five times. It was just ridiculous. And it was very frustrating in the actual time of it because I really wanted to be talking to Mike, as I always do, but particularly about a very important subject, this interaction with the deputy, the First Amendment, and what should a police officer do and what should a citizen do. So what I did is I went back and edited that interview to kind of eliminate some of those awkward moments. And the reason I tell you this is because I normally do not edit our interviews at all. That's why I like doing live interviews, because they're not edited. Like, you, sometimes people in the news do edit things, and not well. John, confirm?
I can confirm that very well.
In fact, it's one of the reasons that historically people have said they like coming on my show is because we do it live, and you know, I can't manipulate whatever they say. This just happens as it happens. And so anyway, I'm belaboring the point, but I'm just telling you, if you hear parts of it that sound like, whoa, I don't know about that, you know, probably edited it. Obviously, I never change anybody's content. In fact, if I ever do edit anybody in any way, it is intended to amplify the clarity of their point, even when they get in the way of making it. And I didn't have to do that with Mike, but I'm just telling you in general. To change somebody's meaning in editing is, it's immoral. It's evil. It's, it's contrary to the whole concept of believing in truth. Okay, so with all that said, Mike Wood, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we're going to get to the First Amendment auditor stuff and the Escambia County Sheriff's Deputy interaction with that person on Friday. But before we do that, because I know once we get to going on that, we're not going to want to come back and do anything else. Seems like it's been a, let's just say, relatively low news week for the police department, which I will take. But two things I want to talk about. One is Amanda Robinson's Officer of the Year, right?
Yeah, and well deserved. Amanda is a very hard worker, one of the best investigators we've ever seen. And she's when she gets on a case, she's like a pit bull. She's not going to let go of that thing, as most of them are. So it was great to see her honored for her hard work, and which continues every day. And anybody that knows her completely understands that it was a great decision. We were glad to see it.
The other one is that I think over last weekend, but you tell me if it's also ongoing or upcoming, there was some special enforcement, I think, with FHP for DUI and aggressive driving. Is that right?
Yeah, and we partner up with them. We've done this before, certain times of the year when drunk can peak, and that way we've got twice the manpower out there. We do it in various parts of the city, and I think there were 8 arrests made that night, and some other charges. Speeder charges and other things like that were made. And this is something that we're going to continue to do throughout the year multiple times.
All right. Very good. Any other news I'm missing other than what we're going to get to talk about here in a second? Any other incidents you want to mention?
No, it's been quite uneventful, and we like that.
I'll take it. Okay, so Escambia County Sheriff's Deputy was involved in an interaction with somebody who describes himself as a First Amendment auditor. I would just say, words I can't say on the radio, but a deliberate jerk, a dill hole, or whatever, you know, however you want to say it. Somebody who is at the Islamic Center, outside of the mosque, basically, where the deputy is doing extra duty security. She talks to him and says, you know, hey, why are you videoing? Which is perfectly, I think, and we'll talk about it, within, you know, her job is to make sure that people are being safe, especially with, you know, a religious institution. Then he provokes her, which is what he's trying to do, provoke, and, you know, engage, an insult, and try to get her to violate his constitutional right to be on public property with a video camera, basically being a jerk, but not doing anything that rises to the level of a crime. Let's listen to a little bit of the audio. This is about 3 minutes in.
I don't know what you're going to tell me.
Oh, you escalated it. Now we're going to play. Yeah, you haven't met somebody like me, have you?
I have. I met plenty of before.
I know. Oh, you're going to call me names now, huh? You scared? You scared? Call backup.
I don't need backup.
Stop. Circling.
Don't touch me.
Did I touch you?
I can get you to. Go ahead. Get out of the roadway. You're blocking the road.
All right. So it's a lot of this. It's lengthy. You know, he's verbally harassing her, but right up to and not over the line of what would be illegal. And so let's talk about it a little bit, because Mike, you do PIO training. You literally teach other cop communicators and other cops how to handle stuff like this, right?
Yeah, and let me say, first of all, that, you know, I try to stay in my lane and not talk about what's going on in other agencies, but I am 100% team Escambia County Sheriff's Office on this one and that deputy. They are a very professional organization, as everybody knows, and I believe that this deputy had just at some point just had enough. So you give them your name and badge number, and then you can end that interaction. Unless, you know, it's what I'm doing legal or illegal, you can answer that. But once it becomes confrontational where they're just trying to get video in order to get clicks, in order to get paid.
Yeah, it seems like silence. You know, like, as you say, my name, here's my badge number. I'm going to stand here because I'm working extra duty, you know, keeping security. But that's it. You don't even have to talk. You can be like the Buckingham Palace, you know, cops or the military. You can just stand there and watch. And now, right? Silence is powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they're looking for because they get paid. I wish TikTok and others would quit paying people for stuff like this, but that's why they do it. You'll never see the ones where the officer doesn't say anything and there's no right. confrontation because they won't upload them. It's useless to them. So, again, I hope this deputy is back on today. This is just something that, you know, a couple minutes of training will take care of. And, you know, these people will not make any money if there's no confrontation. That's why you ones that where there is no confrontation. And but there's videos of officers conduct is just extremely wrong, and it's all over the place. And that was not the case with this sheriff's deputy.
You know, that's a great point, that some do it so much worse, and they don't show you the ones where they do it flawlessly. But, you know, unfortunately, as cops, you have to bat 1,000. And if you don't bat 1,000, you know.
And, you know, this is not just aimed at law enforcement. It's anybody. You have to understand that they do have rights. They do have the First Amendment right. If you are in a public place and your eyes can see, so can your camera on your So right. you have to don't confront them. The ones that don't confront, if you go to, you look at some of these videos, there's 5 or 6 people in a let's say outside of a restaurant, and the only one that confronts them, they concentrate on, because that's going to get them clicks. That's going to make them money. If everybody right. stands around and looks at them and doesn't respond, that video will never even get uploaded.
There were a couple of questions that I had just about the particulars in this case. One was when he's circling her. If you're circling me as a citizen, I consider you a threat. I might well punch you. I mean, I'm not shooting you, not yet, but you're a threat if you're circling me. Am I wrong to interpret it that way?
No, you're not. And if you get within arm's length reach, that is where you can fear for your health and safety. And, you know, and looking at this video, I think the deputy handled that very well. She could have done more if she wanted to and chose not to. So if you're getting in someone's personal space, that's where you draw the line. If she was to go back to her cruiser and get in it and close the door and he...
And he continued to be there. Yeah, no, I get... And like when we used to do martial arts, the training for us was always the first thing, if you're in a street encounter, I mean, you have all kinds of options when you're in a street encounter, but the first clearest thing you can do is literally just yell at them, stand back and leave me alone, hold your arm out, not enough that you can be grabbed, but, you know, to create that this is the space within which you cannot come or else there's going to be problems, because that forces them to then make the decision either to touch you, to come into your space, or, you know, to back off and go somewhere else. And, you know, so that's what I wanted to hear. I was curious about that because it seems to me like that would have been the case. And if you're circling around me and I let you get behind me, now you really are a threat because you've acted in a hostile manner. And even if you haven't done anything that's physically menacing, I'm not going to, in this situation, I wouldn't. And I would imagine an officer would actually be a bad judgment to let him get around behind him. 5:48 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, in case you missed the note right at the beginning of the interview, we had some like catastrophically bad phone problems yesterday talking to Mike Wood, so I apologize for some of that. I edited the interview and just I didn't want that to be a surprise to you, or if you thought, well, I listened to it, it didn't sound quite like that. Yeah, I mean, and I never edit interviews. I mean, ever, John, ever?
Ever.
Ever. So just so you're aware. Hey, if you're thinking about that next car, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot. So if you want to go drive 2 or 3 or 5 or 6, and I do, I recommend you do. I think typically we don't drive a lot of cars. We kind of have in mind the idea of the one that we're going to get, and then we go drive it, and then we buy it, you know. And I really recommend, you know, date a few different cars, at least briefly. See what they have. See what you like. See what you don't like. See what the price is. Find out if there might be something you enjoy more. Or, frankly, you know, if you're buying a sedan, try a Jeep. If you're buying a minivan, try an SUV or a crossover or maybe a sedan. Like, you never know what you might like that you haven't tried yet. Plus, it's fun. I mean, it's a 5 to 10 minute commitment to drive a car. That's just fun. And they'll let you do it. No charge. It's kind of an amazing situation. So if you find what you love, great, buy it. If you find something that's close but not quite, great, send them looking for it. They go looking for cars for people all the time. Every car you buy is going to have a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles. It's going to be in great condition. It's going to have had one or maybe two owners, typically 1 to 4 years young, 10 to 40,000 miles, and they will stand by all those cars because they're good quality. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Leadership Pensacola Class of 2026, our community's premier leadership development program, is turning leadership into action.
Take a leap with us.
The Leadership Class of 2026 is stepping forward to create a healing garden for Gulf Coast Kids House.
A calming space designed to support children on their healing journey.
Together, we can turn leadership into lasting impact.
Lead with purpose and build healing.
To support this project, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
Join us in growing hope.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
What about the police?
What about them?
You heard them?
No, but I've seen them.
What, in concert?
No, behind you.
What?
Good morning, 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I was mentioning to you a little bit before the NASA mission, the Artemis II that's coming back, and I'm going to try my best to explain this as a non-scientist. I think I understand the situation well enough to give it a little bit of explanation. I mentioned that the heat shield that they're using on the bottom of the capsule, you know, the reentry capsule, is not, what's the word I want, ideal. So the heat shield was put in on Artemis 1. And if you've seen any of the pictures of the heat shield, it does not look great. It's got, like, chunks missing. There are pieces, because when it was coming back in, it was pieces of it were breaking off. And you think, well, I don't think that's how that's supposed to work. So the reason there were pieces that broke off is because, think of it this way, there's kind of two layers to the shield. There's the external crust, and then there's the internal part as well. When you hit that atmosphere and it superheats to 5,000 degrees, and then it goes back out into space, what's going to happen, John?
It's going to cool down.
There you go. The friction from the atmosphere makes it heat up massively. Then it bounces back up and it slows down and comes.
Why it does that, because the shuttle would be straight.
I know, and I don't know answer on the shuttle. I just know that was my question too. Is I thought we had this technology solved with the shuttle. Heck, I thought we had this technology solved with the Apollo missions. Well, they tried something new, and guess what? The new thing worked as well as the Microsoft Outlook worked, and you know, as well as the toilet worked, which is good Lord, people. Anyway, so they tried this kind of newer technology, and the way it works is there's this crust that is designed to breathe so that the gassing that is superheated by the underlayer has a place to go. But the crust only breathes when it's hot. Because when something is hot, it expands. The little tiny holes in the crust then open up the crust of the capsule, okay, the bottom layer. And if the crust is cool, there's no gap, so there's no outgassing. Okay, so again, John, with your physics knowledge, if there's superheated 5,000 degrees and then it goes back out into space, it's going to cool. Which part's going to cool first, the in or the outside?
The outside.
So if you have a superheated inside that's trying to outgas and the superheated outside, which is allowing the outgassing and now no longer has the pores because it's contracted in the cold, where does the gas go?
Oh, it goes. It stays there.
It blows anywhere. Up. Yeah. It explodes out. It either creates stress for the crust or it explodes outward, which is exactly what happened. So when, you know, you basically had pieces of it getting ripped off, broken off, shredded off, and that's not good. That's not what we want.
No.
So their solution was it's too close to the mission to put in a completely new system. So they're using this exact system.
That makes me feel confident.
Dramatic pause. But they're going to come in at a different angle. And the angle is designed to cut down on the extreme fluctuation of the temperature from the hot to the cold, to which is really the issue. It's designed to allow the external crust to sort of maintain some of its hotness so that the pores are open so that the outgassing can occur.
So they didn't try this before they decided to do this?
No. I mean, they've done all kinds of testing that they can do.
Okay.
But they obviously didn't do testing re-entering at this massive speed. And so... Now, the astronauts have all said, yes, we're aware this is a danger. We're aware of what happened with the first one. And it wasn't catastrophic for the first one. The first capsule didn't blow up or anything like that. But there are some former astronauts who are saying, oh, my God, what are you doing? Don't use this. Don't do this. And the Artemis astronauts themselves are like, no, it's fine. We were in the conversations. We've talked with the engineers and the scientists. We're familiar with what happened. We learned from that. We're doing this differently. And we're confident we're not putting our lives at risk in a way that we are worried that it's a high-risk thing. But I'm telling you, reading this as a civilian did not comfort me. And now that you understand the problem, John?
Oh, I'm not comforted at all.
Would you have gone up in the Artemis II mission if you hadn't known this?
If I hadn't known this?
Had not known this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, most people would. Would you go up in it now?
Well, to be honest, I've always wanted to go to space, you know?
This is my one chance to go to space. I'm doing it. And look, you're 52. I mean, you know, if something bad happens to you, you had a good life.
I did.
Right. I mean, you know.
Let's live it.
That's funny. So I also want to be optimistic in part because what did happen to Artemis 1, the unmanned version, was not that catastrophic, right? The thing did re-enter and land. And they've made an improvement, and everybody's on board with this working that's on the mission. Well, so at a certain point, you have to trust that. But also,
yeah.
that was my reaction to learning all of this yesterday. The birth rate is down. Bad. 700,000 fewer babies born last year compared with a couple decades ago. We are way down. It is trending down. People are having children later. They're having fewer children. It's not good. The one good note, 700,000. The one good note is that teenagers are not having children. Teenagers are... Teen birth rates that are at a historic low. It's like 125,000. Well, it used to be about five times higher, and so it looks like the total impact on the birth rate is almost entirely from 15 to 19-year-old girls not having children. And on the one hand, you want to say that's a good thing, which it is. But on the other hand, part of this issue culturally is we're just not having kids because... We're not getting married because we're not wanting to have kids, because we have high access to contraception, because people aren't having sex. Like, this is an epidemic around the country, and not just for us, but other nations as well. So you have plunging birth rates in Asia, particularly. It's a demographic time bomb in Asia, China, Japan, all of your Asian countries, Korea. It's all a problem. For us, it's not quite as acute yet, but... Between the expulsion of immigrants, the crackdown on illegal immigration, the reduction in reproduction rates, it's not good. It is good that teenagers are not getting pregnant. But part of the reason teenagers aren't getting pregnant is because young people are using technology, isolated from other people, not engaging in romance and relationships and engaging in sex, in and of itself seems like a good thing. But if they don't then grow up to become 25-year-olds who get married and get what I'm getting at. So it's a mixed blessing.
Yeah. I did my part.
But you only have two.
That's right.
I only have three. 2.4, I think, is replacement. Okay. So, you know, between us, we've done okay.
Yes.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923.